All right, in our final minutes here together, we're going to look at John chapter 14 this evening, John chapter 14, and we are continuing in our series on the goodness of God. And we looked at several passages in the Psalms, and now we're looking into the New Testament to illustrate the goodness of God that has been demonstrated through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And last time we looked at the statement that our Lord makes concerning ourselves in this world, the troubles and the problems that we face. We're living in a very political environment now, and there's a lot of tension and all kinds of angst that's out there. And as Christians, as believers, we need to understand that God's goodness extends to us with promises. And these promises are sure. We have, of course, the possession of Jesus Christ. We have the possession of eternal life right now in Jesus Christ. But we also are able to live our lives without troubled hearts. And I want to go back to this passage again and read this. Very familiar. Many of us have memorized these verses since we were children. But they are nonetheless a comfort to us tonight. And I want to read them again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and note the language here, and receive you unto myself. Now that makes it very specific. Rather than him coming down to us, we go up to him. I'm going to receive you up to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So this is a reference to the rapture that's given to us here. And we read there, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. We'll stop there with verse 7. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the comfort that we have in your word. And we are so thankful tonight for the goodness that you have demonstrated through your Son, Jesus Christ, to us, that as we're here upon this earth and we face all of the difficulties and trials and troubles, our hearts do get troubled, but we can know and rest in your blessed word and the promises that you have given. And I pray that you'd help us to take to heart these promises, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. This is in the imperative in the Greek language. There are three imperatives that are given in these verses. The first one is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. That's in the imperative. And believe also in me. That's in the imperative. Dr. Henry Alford, a great Greek scholar in the 1800s, said this is an unusual pattern to have three imperatives here given concerning the child of God, that we are to not be troubled, and the way we're not to be troubled is to believe not only in the existence of God, but in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. We said last time that the Lord has provided for us through these promises of the fact that He is with us, that He is gone to heaven to prepare mansions for us, places to stay, dwelling places is the word that we could better translate that. Many remember how they used to call the parsonage the manse. Anybody remember that? Well, that comes from that Greek word, and it means a dwelling place. And he said, I've gone to develop and make a dwelling place for you. And when I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. And so these blessed promises are given. Dr. Merrill Tenney wrote a New Testament survey book many, many years ago, and a tremendous man of God. And this is what he said, that has been such a blessing to me personally. Jesus' solution to a troubled heart is not a recipe, but a relationship. So many times we hear 5 steps to this, 6 steps to that. It sounds like a recipe. Now, I like recipes. I like cooking. And you follow the recipe and you come out at the very end and you have maybe a cake or maybe it's a dish that you've made and you follow the recipe like you're supposed to, you'll come out on the end. But what he's saying here is not a recipe, but rather the acknowledgement of a relationship that's been established by Jesus Christ in our heart and life. And we're to understand that that relationship involves not only a person, but a place. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a place that we can call home?
Amen.
And it's not where I happen to live. No, I like my house. And I enjoy going home every night and kicking back in my lazy boy chair and relaxing and so forth like that. But that's just a temporary place. That's not my home. My home's in heaven. And it's made by Jesus Christ. Because of the relationship that I have with Him, He says, I have made a place for you where you can come and dwell with Me for all eternity. Now that, folks, is a promise. It is a promise that will never be broken. Oh, how we break promises. We'll say things and then we forget about them. By the way, be careful what you say. Be careful promising your kids stuff that you have no intention of keeping it because you can't remember. All right? Be careful. Make sure that you promise something and deliver. What does that have to do with? It has to do with the veracity of my word, what I say. If I promise somebody I'm going to do something for them, I better do it for them. And if I can't do it for them, I need to go back to them and let them know, listen, I am not going to be able to do that because this, and that, and we'll do something else, maybe at a later time. So that you maintain the veracity of your word. Jesus and God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, they always maintain the veracity of their word because they're God. 3 in 1. God. And He said, where I am, you're going to be there also. For behold, I have prepared a place for you. And not only that, I'm going to provide transportation to get there. Isn't that wonderful? We were just up at Niagara Falls, and they, of course, have massive parking lots. And we were in parking lot number 3, right beside the Niagara River. And the trolley came by. The trolley comes by about every 5 minutes or so. And the trolleys were full, so we had to wait for the second trolley to come. We finally got on the second trolley, and we made our way over to the American side, and we got to see the falls, and then we walked across the bridge and got over to see the Bridal Veil Falls, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And they provided transportation to get there. That was nice. I had to pay for it. I had to pay, we had to pay $3 or $4 a piece to just make that little less than a mile jaunt from our parking lot up to where we were supposed to go. But I was glad to do it. I didn't have to walk it in the heat. Now, I want you to know something. The Lord has promised transportation to His house. Notice this, please. And if I go and prepare a place for you, a dwelling place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now remember who He's speaking to. He's talking to His disciples here. He's just unloaded on them. He said, I'm going to be leaving you tonight. I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to be going. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be put in jail. And I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. Now their whole world is going to turn upside down. And He's promising them that where He is, they will be also. What a glorious Lord we have. Can we put the label of goodness on this? Absolutely. That God should deign to love me, to save me from my sin, and then tell me, I'm going to let you come live with me. I'm going to build you a mansion, and I'm going to provide you the transportation to get there. That's goodness. And that should encourage us. Thomas steps up. He's known as Doubting Thomas, but he's just Thomas. And he did express some doubts, just like us. Let's not get hypercritical and say, oh, that Thomas, you know, always sticking his foot in his mouth, you know, and he didn't that. Let me tell you something, folks, we're the same way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? That's typical human response. I have no idea where you're going. You said you're going to leave us. How can we know the way? You haven't given us direction. Today, instead of the old Walmart, you know, maps that we used to have when we were growing up, and the big old maps that you folded out, which were impossible to, you know, you had to sit there, and they had like 900 folds in them, and you had to try to fold it all back up. And usually what happened was Dad would hand them back to the back of the truck where we were and said, fold this up. He'd just stick it through the window and fold this up for us, you know. It was impossible to do that. Now we have GPS. And you just type in the address. But there is no address for heaven. That's the abode of God. How are we going to get there? He just said how we're going to get there. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas got a part of it. Jesus is going away, but he missed the part about I'm going to take you with me. I'm going to take you to the location. Now, folks, we need to understand something. We are living on this earth, and we have to deal with earthly things every day. You step out into the yard, and you trip on a root. That's an earthly thing. It's just part of living life on this earth. You go, and you have to empty the trash can. You have to take it out. If you've got a pickup, you got to make sure you have it out on the right day. It's amazing to hear all the trash cans being rolled out on our street. You can hear them rolling as they go down the concrete road, and you hear them being put out there. And then the next morning, psh, psh, you hear all the noises. And then, whoosh, boom, and like that. And then all the people walk out from their houses, and they grab that. Richard, do you do that? Do you get reminded by your wife? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Richard, you got to go get the trash can, right? Yep. Is it two or one? Two. Three? Wow. Just two people living have three trash cans. Oh, it's a leaf can? I don't even know all those fancy things because I'm just a pack mule. My wife gives me bags of stuff, and I walk it out there and throw it in the back of the truck and haul it to the dumpster here. But, you know, think about this for just a moment. That's just the nitty-gritty of living life here upon this earth. Light comes on in the car. Okay? Maybe it's reminding you to change the oil. Maybe it's reminding you that you need to do something else. We had a light that kept popping up on our car that said that something was going on with the power steering unit, but actually what it was the battery. The battery was flickering and doing stuff, so we had codes popping up and whatever. We changed the battery, it all went away. Nothing wrong with the power steering unit. Now, it's aggravating dealing with that stuff. Come on, car. You're not supposed to give me any trouble. You're only 5 years old, you know. Cars break down. Cars get old. We deal with that stuff every day. You have some child that comes up and wipes their nose on you as they're coming by, walking by, and then, hello, Mr. Brainerd, and on your sleeve, and you look down there, ooh, what in the world are you doing? Living life on earth, right? Mowing the grass and stepping something. Living life on earth. I want you to know something. This isn't it. This is just temporary. We're going to be in a place because we have a relationship. And that relationship has been developed on that side for us. I haven't driven one nail in my mansion, and praise God for that. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with my mansion. I can't build stuff down here, much less do it up in heaven. But I've got a master carpenter who's building a place for me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But because of my Savior and His goodness and His grace, there's going to be a place for me to be in heaven. Not based on my merits, but based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we can put that all under the heading of the goodness of God. Folks, this is encouraging. Let not your heart be troubled. Imperative. Don't let your heart get troubled. Don't get all bent out of shape on this world. It's easy to do. Easy to do. Wouldn't it be nice to have a problem-free day? Get up in the morning and go home at night and say, I didn't have one problem today. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I haven't had any of those days. There's usually something that goes haywire. Something happens. And, you know, it's just that's just part of living life here upon this earth. But we're going to have a glorious day when our blessed Savior calls us to be with Him. And we spend all eternity with our glorious Lord because we have a relationship with Him. Father in heaven, thank You for Your goodness to us. We are so undeserving. But yet in Your grace, You have told us that You're going to come and take us to be with You. And that You're going to provide for us a place to stay with You for all eternity, not based upon our merits, but based solely upon the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ because of His righteousness. Lord, let our hearts be encouraged by that. May we not be troubled by living life here upon this earth, but may we be encouraged about the life beyond this life. And yes, be encouraged while we're here. We can know Your grace, we can know Your peace, we can know Your mercy, we can know all of these things on a daily basis. And I pray that we might enjoy our relationship with Your Son, Jesus Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.